I'm Rudy Roe Dollar Flow Bigliani, along with my partner Telly TJ Vangeli. This is Cross Vegas. After years of sowing seeds of faith as up-and-coming televangelists, TJ and I crashed into our new endeavor of being social mediators for the kingdom right here in Las Vegas. We're demonstrating the blessing that he wants for you in our latest project of prosperity at Cross Vegas. Come join us as we bring the redemption of riches to the Sin City. Remember, what happens here stays in heaven. Well, hello there, dear listeners. Wherever you may be across the Fruited Plains, thanks for making us a part of your day. We are here at Cross Vegas, and my, oh, my, we got a great show for you today. As I said before, coming to you live from Las Vegas, or as we call it, the Berg. And my brother, TJ, what do we have planned for this incredible episode?
Well, Rudy, we have decided, given the state of affairs in the world, there's wars, there's rumors of wars, there's famines, all this stuff's been going on. We should just give our listeners what they need, which is, what should you be thinking about these current events? We got two current events related segments. One, how many Four Horsemen? The other, of course, Turned or Burnt. I think we should just do the entire episode on those two. There has been a lot of important things happening at Cross Vegas, and we decided, you know, this is the time when finally, after all these years, more important things are happening other than our plans for our ministry.
Ain't that right? It's so crazy that, for as you said, for the first time ever, the current events have eclipsed, little foreshadowing, have eclipsed the type of projects that we've been up to here across Vegas. So I think we should just dive right into it.
So we got two things going on. We got the eclipse, we got the rapture. One happened and the other didn't. What do we think about this? How many Four Horsemen, now that a potential rapture-related event has come and gone without rapturing anybody?
You know, this is an incredible thought, and I know a lot of people has been thinking about that and has been reaching out to us about that for our comments, so here they are. There's a few things in this situation that should have tipped people off. It should have tipped them off that it wasn't going to actually be the rapture. One of them is that the rapture is going to come like a thief in the night. That's what 1 Thessalonians 5:2 says. So the fact that NASA and all them scientists knew of this eclipse and where it'll happen tells you it ain't nothing related to the end times or related to the Lord. Could be a man-made alien kind of satellite umbrella that's covering up the sun. But if we already know about it from science, that tells you right there that it ain't the rapture.
Right. It just reminds me of the way that the rainbow commemorates the flood. The eclipse commemorates the afternoon of the crucifixion. So once, when you know that you're going to do that every Good Friday or whatever pattern the eclipse is on, right, the first full moon after the vernal equinox, after like 5 years go by, or whatever pattern it's on, it's a known pattern. You can put it on the calendar. And if you can put it on the calendar, it's not prophecy.
We always interpret science through the word in the KJV. You know, we know that a real eclipse, we know what a real eclipse is like because of what happened to Jesus when he was crucified. We know that in a real eclipse, you're going to have the dead rising. You're going to have curtains being torn in two. And I didn't hear nothing of that on any of them programs that I was watching that was covering the eclipse.
Digging in deeper scripture here, I was meditating on Amos 5:18, which goes a little something like, "Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness, not light. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light? Even very dark and no brightness in it?" When I was reflecting on that, I was thinking, you know, other than kind of that bit about it being this Three Stooges comedy act where you're running from a lion and then you get eaten by a bear or a snake, it's really clear what the message means. We should be desiring the day of the Lord because, whoa, it'll be wild, but it's also going to be dark. So darkness is related to the eclipse, and it's just meant to remind us to get ourselves ready for that day of which we know not.
Do you hear that thing coming? Beep, beep. You hear that coming? That's the big Bible book getting backed up right into this show. Thank you for that, TJ, for bringing the word to us. And for those of you keeping score at home, I will just give this one a one horse.
You know, I'm going to give this one a two horseman, because one way that you're going to get an eclipse that's unscheduled is when the Lord returns. But the other way you're going to get an eclipse that's unscheduled is when it's like Independence Day, not the holiday, but the movie that also includes the holiday and a victory for America over aliens. But when you see that big spaceship coming over your city and it's eclipsing out everything in the sky, that's an unscheduled eclipse. But it actually says there's going to be a deliverance from the Lord as you fly your F-16 up into the beam and sacrifice yourself for all of humanity, particularly all of America.
Very well said. And that includes another really great example of a time where we can experience an eclipse. And even though it has aliens, we probably shouldn't think it's going to be the end of the world.
All right. Next up on how many four horsemen we got, Jesse Duplantis, one of our colleagues and competitors, we like to call him, one of the people in the industry, the money from Believers Industry. He had a victory-thon, which is kind of like a hackathon, but where you're gaining victory over thon, I guess. And he had this victory-thon fundraiser, and he said something very interesting, which is that you can speed up the return of Christ by making more donations to him. How many four horsemen are we talking about with this?
So, great subject. And I would apply this across the board, and I think I'd encourage our listeners to take this to heart. I think what he's saying, from my perspective, there ain't nothing really wrong with it. So I'd say send your funds. I tell our listeners, just send your funds to what you think is the most loyal, young, patriotic Amenikins that you think are doing his word. So you take his word to heart, and then you think and let the Lord guide you to it, who are the most up and coming, with it, advanced, entrepreneurial type of prophets that you think deserve this money. And for all y'all that have been critical of how we spend our money, just know that we cannot take our cash to heaven. So we're going to spend it now, all of it, very frugally, so we don't get caught with it when Jesus returns. So we're going to use it. And so for me, I give this four horsemen, but it depends on how much is coming in. So if I go and, check on some of our donations right after the show and I see a six-figure donation, well, that's a four horseman right there. But if we're getting that usual Burger King coupon type of paper in the plate, then I'm going to have to bring that down to a one horseman.
If Jesse's right, which we believe he more or less is, just not that he has to get it, he's old. We're still going here, still going strong. But if Jesse's right, really, what you got to figure out is when have you hit those matching funds levels that the Holy Spirit's going to bless? Like, if it's $1 million, does it move from one four horseman to two four horsemen? We believe it does. It's a little fuzzy as to which tier we move to at which level, but I'm just going to say it right now. I think a $1 million for the first level, and then kind of go in like an exponential way from there, you know, do some orders of magnitude. You go like 1 million, 10 million, 1,000 million, all the way up, you know, to where we've got a solid four horsemen situation where the return of the Lord is imminent. Just a word of warning, though. So there's everything good about hastening the end of the world, but you have to kind of titrate that just right, because if you get a ton of money right before the end of the world, it isn't any good. So you gotta maybe aim for that three, four horsemen level, where it's maybe about $1,000 million, and you still got time to spend it. We still got time to spend it. you know, and we can take you along on that adventure. We'll live stream from our yacht. We're happy to live stream that all into you, bring you along for the ride, let you kind of vicariously participate in our victory-thon.
Absolutely. So if any of y'all got one of them $1,000,000,000 bills that you want to put in that plate, just know, do so knowing that Lord's coming soon and we are going to use it to the max, baby.
All right. How many Four Horsemen does it take to represent the end of the world nearness that a couple of our good old pals, Rudy Giuliani and Marjorie Taylor Greene, have been talking about, where they've been claiming that earthquakes are targeting communist states, but not the communist states like the North Koreas of the world. These are the communist states of California, New York, Connecticut, and Massachusetts. Why are they getting earthquakes, and is this the sign that the Lord's return is imminent?
Well, I put a lot of careful thought and meditation into this one, and the Lord directed me to Mark 13:8, which says that, "For nation shall rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places." Okay, so ask yourself right there, what do we know about communist states? They are diverse places, and they tend to, and those diverse places tend to lean more leftist, aka they's communist. So right there, you see it right in scripture that there's going to be earthquakes in diverse places, and the only reason it didn't say communist places is because that wasn't a word yet. For me, I got a lot of respect for Rudy. We share a name, which is kind of cool. And I'd say, make some room on the saddle, because this looks like a Four Horseman to me.
I love how you're thinking about this. And one extra little bit that MTG contributed to the mix was, she was sure to point out that New Hampshire, as a swing state, was not hit by any of these earthquakes. There's still time to repent, New Hampshire. You know, I take all the geological and meteorological events as divine signs of the end times. Like, it was the other day, tax day, right? And I had my return all ready to go to the post office. As I walked the mile and a half in flip-flops and tank tops to that post office, the return simply melted away in my hand while it rained. And I just want to thank you, Lord, right now for giving me the boldness to dissolve my abusive relationship with the federal government. One other thought I've been thinking about, what's really causing all these twisters is that all the kids are inviting weather demons into their neighborhoods with a live-action, full-body Ouija board game called Twister. That, I believe, is something we have to root out from this culture.
Oh, absolutely. What we can see is a direct connect between the sin in our country and what's going on in the weather. We're not pointing to some crazy thing like the earth getting heated up and that kind of stuff and climate change. What we need is a climate change in people's hearts. We got to weed out the twister. We got to weed out the Ouija boards.
And kids, if you're out there and you find yourself tempted to do the twister, just do it alone, okay? Don't get into this mixture where somebody's got their left foot on green, and then your right hand is on blue, and then your left hand is also on blue, and then you flip over and they gotta flip over to you to get their left foot onto blue as well. And that's where it gets crowded and things just start happening there all over the place. You're gonna invite the weather demons and you're gonna get pregnant.
It goes from doing the twister to doing the serious real quick. Okay, so for our last How Many Four Horsemen topic, there's some AI-generated images of Jesus that have been popping up, and they're covered in shrimp. And it makes us wonder, is this the final form of Jesus? Do the prayer bots have something, some sort of knowledge that they could direct to us? Huge topic. I'm sure you've seen them popping up on social media. Brother TJ, what do you think about the shrimp Jesus?
The bots are getting pretty creative. They know what people like. People like Jesus. People like crustaceans. people like beach scenes where it's like this idyllic place where they can kind of sun themselves. So I'm not surprised that the bots are sending in these prompts to Midjourney and elsewhere. And it does show that Jesus is still embedded in our culture. Thank you very much, he gets us. But one thing that has been on my mind is that I don't think that Jesus, were he to be evolving right now, would evolve in the direction of being shrimp, because everybody with any knowledge of the Jewish culture that Jesus came from would know shrimp, they're ceremonially unclean, and that's not what Jesus would make his body out of. Would he become the incarnate Messiah as anything less than carne asada? Is a perfect cut of meat getting grilled by Pilate. He's tender, he's juicy, you got blood and water flowing out of him when he's pierced. So I think that if Jesus were to reveal himself through Gen AI, he is going to be beef, not seafood.
I think when we look at something like this, we have to ask ourselves, where are we actually interacting with this image? Where we're interacting with it on social media by accounts that are created and controlled by robot artists. And this is what they want to create. So why should I stand in the way of what they want to create, first and foremost? It certainly does influence how we think about the way we use our prayer bots and the praise bots. There is a part of me, though, that is kind of convicted, because I think we should have created some Christian art bots years ago. I think I'm kicking myself every time I see one of these shrimp Christs, because I think if we was the ones that had created the Christian art bots, then we'd be getting some of that, some credit. Kind of like we'd be the ones that like created Johnny Five from that movie Short Circuit. And so we could kind of parade that around. But I do think there could still be some room for this kind of thing, because we could get some AI stained glass, do some AI flannel graph, and really break into the Christian art market, because you can tell that these AI bots are chomping at the bit to bring faith and art together, which has never happened before.
I love that. So we got an opportunity. We're catching up. We're fast followers of Christ and of the technology trends. So we're going to send this one through our algorithm factory a few more times, see if we can get something a little truer to form than the final form that Jesus has adopted through this shrimp Christ, and harvest that influence that we deserve as leaders in this culture. So with that, I'm giving Shrimp Jesus one four horsemen, because it is not the end, it is only the beginning of using these generative techniques to basically put everybody out of business for Christ. Hitting the bookshelves near you, at least where Barnes & Noble has not yet gone out of business, is the Trump Commemorative Bible, available for $59.99 USD. Is this turnt or is this burnt to have a presidential Bible that's finally got all the good stuff in there along with the Bible?
Well, TJ, you'd have to be living under a rock in a cave on the moon to have not heard about or gotten your hands on this Trump Bible. And I'd have to say this is a completely turnt subject right there. And it's so turnt that I can't just buy one. I need to also be involved in this. Just like Zondervan and other publishing companies, I think we see a real opportunity to not only support this, but to take this Trump Bible even further.
Yeah, I love that it's already the King James Version, which is what people want to hear now. What I love about the King James Version is that it connects with LeBron James, and it also connects with how we're looking for a king, a monarchical regime, to restore the throne of America to either the Tudor or Stuart line, I suppose, or the Trump line. And that is a strong connection point there, even with our Catholic integralist friends.
Every good Bible needs different versions. And I don't mean like changing the KJV, but you got your version that's in camo, that was kind of cool for a while. And you got your version that's real small. You got your version that kind of fit in your back pocket that's only got half the Bible in it. In that spirit, I think we got a lot of great opportunities to take this Trump Bible and make it a true franchise. And so one of the opportunities we have is to make a Bible version that's more for 2024, not like the comic book graphic novel Bible that we've seen in the past for kids, but I'm talking about the true man's man 2024 Bible, which is the Bible, and it's all written in Truth Social Post format so that we can really understand it.
Oh, I love that. And sharing all those characteristics that really suit modern communication priorities, like all caps, kind of no apostrophes, right? Who wants to get held up when you're writing don't? Everybody's going to know what you mean without the apostrophe if it's all caps still. You know, don't you ever talk to me that way. Like, you don't need the apostrophes there. So it's a simplified version, sans serif. You just have the caps. You know the Bible is yelling at you like it should. It makes me think of the synoptic gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which are really the gospels that emphasize how God can see you sinning.
And what's great about this this Truth Social Post format Bible is all of the red letter words, the words of Christ, are written as if Trump was speaking them himself, because that really gets to the heart of the American people. So for example, John 3:16 in Trump speak, and I like to do a little bit of a Trump impression myself, because I respect him so much. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, the world, it's an amazing world, a big world, that he gave his only begotten son. We're all sons of God, but only one's begotten, that whosoever believes in him," and that includes everyone from Sleepy Joe to Crooked Hillary, "they shall not perish." Reminds me of one of the only great black Celtics, Robert Parrish. "They shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Just like the everlasting gobstopper, it won't go away. So there's just a little example right there of the red letter Trump speak scripture.
Helps me appreciate it on a whole new level. Like, I haven't listened that intently to scripture since I was on that ayahuasca trip with the James Earl Jones Bible playing in the background. That's where you see that the criticisms this has been getting are just baseless. I mean, on the one hand, people are saying, well, is Trump making himself into an idol by doing this? Well, maybe in the old sense, like he's calling us back to an idyllic time of general stores and colonies. You know, he's basically a dime store president, half Nickel Creek, half Nickelback. But I love that he is marketing this. He is using his brand to make Jesus famous again as well. You know, one of the other criticisms he's gotten for this is that why would a president have his own Bible? But you got to look into history here. Do your own research, folks. All the other presidents had their own version of the Bible. You got Jefferson Bible with all the parts about miracles and slaves cut out. You got the Benjamin Harrison Bible where gluttony isn't a sin. And then you got the Truman Bible, and that's got the part where Jesus talks about how atom bombs are fine to use as long as you're scared to invade another country. But you know what? I think this is the first one where we see that there's been an exposure of a stealth deep state operation between big tech, big government, and big Bible. Because up until now, God bless the USA, the Constitution and the Pledge of Allegiance have been all conspicuously absent from the original translations. I was just looking back over, Tyndale House's Obama Study Bible, and look at how he's changed these passages. Practically every chapter of Proverbs, right? So he's got Proverbs 28. "He that gives to the poor shall lack nothing." but he that hides his eyes shall have many curses. Proverbs 29, the righteous consider the cause of the poor, but the wicked do not regard it. Proverbs 31, open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. I mean, who's the editor of this thing, Antifa? So I am calling the Trump Bible turnt and calling all the other presidential Bibles burnt all at once.
I'd have to agree. I think this is completely turnt. Love the Trump Bible. Love what it's going to do for our brand. And it's going to shine so bright, it is just going to blind the eyes of them other Bibles that the other presidents have made. All right, next topic. Here on Turnt or Burnt, there was a huge heated debate very recently for some conduct that happened at a men's conference. There was a speaker who you may know of named Mark Driscoll, who was called off the stage, literally kicked off the stage by John Lindell. And this was all about a certain act that was performed to kick off a men's conference. So, Brother TJ, what do you think about this incident, turnt or burnt?
Well, first of all, let me just say, I love to see these conferences where people are countering the lies all our culture is telling us about men. Those lies I call phallic fallacies. And, you know, this is one of those conferences where you're going to have, like they did last year, a tank driving over cars while flames are shooting up out of the flagpoles around it. And you think it's going to be Jesus who pops out of the tank hatch at the end, but it's even better. It's Chuck Norris. So I was live streaming this. I couldn't afford to go this year. I was live streaming this whole thing. So when this whole controversy happened, I was taken aback. I mean, I watched the part where the controversial actions took place, which was a man wearing full-length pants and no shirt who is doing a sword swallowing act and kind of a pole dance slash sword swallow act that Mark Driscoll didn't like and John Lindell really did like, and they had a little tiff about it. And sword swallowing, oh my goodness. And boy, I just am so mixed up about this. I'm churning inside. I'm turning and churning, and I'm burning. And I don't know what to call this right now. I need your help, Rudy, to help me sort this out.
Yeah, I can feel you're a turnton and a burnton even as you speak about this, because it is quite controversial. And you hear people saying things like, oh, did you hear that church down there in Ozarks, they hired a stripper? And when that's all you hear, you kind of have to go, well, I've developed an opinion about that, but let's just get the facts straight here. But first thing first, it's a men's conference, just as you said, TJ. So I know there was a man doing things that a woman should be doing, according to Mark Driscoll, but that's because it's a men's conference. You can't have women there. So let's just get that out of the way first. Second, yes, I'm aware that gays do that sort of act too, but it's a man's conference. There ain't gonna be no gays there. So let's just get number two out of the way. All right, now to number three. We can understand, as you said, that a man was doing a little bit of a show. It involved a pole. It involved ripping a shirt off. I mean, how many of y'all haven't seen a pro sports game where someone rips their shirt off, right? Okay, are we going to go ahead and say that the Navy SEAL training is a bunch of strippers because they're shimmying up poles? They're doing it for their training. Okay, so let's just get that straight. And I think I saw where you're going with this, and I have to agree that the moment it went off course is when he took that long, shiny sword and he inserted that thing all the way into his mouth and down his throat.
Yeah, that's where I just had to look away. That was a serious misstep. You know, that part of the act was a gaffe. If you catch my acronymonious drift there, because, you know, sword swallowing is gay AF, like you were saying. So I'm not sure that was suitable. Like if they had a woman doing it, like Marky D was telling us we should have seen with that Jezebel spirit, a woman stripping, maybe nothing would have been wrong. But, oh boy, you know, I appreciate the sentiment around how this should have been a woman instead of a man, but I think that's where he's wrong. This shouldn't have been a woman. And you know why? It's because a woman does not want to have something like this written on their tombstone. Died by swallowing a sword on purpose. But I bet you like 9 in 10 men are like, heck yes, I want that preserved on my headstone for the next 300 years. Imagine the glory of not only having been killed by swallowing a sword on purpose, but having been killed by swallowing a sword on purpose because it was your job. In our country, men are not acknowledged for doing those hard, physical, dirty jobs out there. They're just left adrift in the sea of educated folks and women who would never have descended from their ivory tower to swallow swords in the first place.
That's exactly right. And every good, solid American man needs to learn a trade. So why are we cursing this guy for practicing his trade? That's an interesting thing to think about. But another thing is, it is a man's conference, and I know that John Lindell loved this, but he had to draw a crowd. And so I ask you this, if it had been a woman stripping, would you have said that, all that stuff about it? I mean, it would have drawn a crowd. We're in here in Las Vegas. I mean, I got to be honest, it's crossed our mind once or twice. Think about our Super Bowl party. We were just, you know, we weren't red lighting anything. We were just throwing stuff up on the board. And so maybe we thought about bringing in some dancers once, but then we crossed it out. We thought better of it. But I'm not going to come down on them for that. You got to get a crowd. And we know that that God made men's minds differently. He wired us all differently. And for men, our attention span is meant to do things like hunt and farm and fight. And so in order to really activate that, we need to see something. I like the idea of a sword. Do I like the idea of him swallowing it? No. But last thing right here, Mark Driscoll, when he was making his argument about this on the stage, which was so controversial, he was about to start talking about him swallowing that sword, and John cut him off. And I think it's because he really did have a good point there. So I think we are very much aligned with Mark in the sense that we took great exception to the sword swallowing. And so for that reason, although I call men's conferences, all men's conferences are turned, the sword swallow is what's burnt.
And that's really the trouble with these big places, these seeker-sensitive megachurch guys who are not like us, you know, out in the wilderness by 75th Street and Mesquite Avenue. But it's these megachurch guys who are doing these seeker-sensitive things. Like, you look through it, monster truck rally, check. Fireworks, check. Chuck Norris in a tank, check. Sean F**ks and Whitesnake collaboration worship music soundtrack, check. All the stuff you'd want to see in a church on a Sunday, but then they went too far with trying to appeal to the culture. I heard there's now a big push, though, amongst Christian sword swallowers to change this whole dynamic you were talking about, because that's really where things get upset here. Where the male swallowers who are concerned about the vibes you mentioned, they're starting to change their act so that the sword is hidden inside them the whole time. And right at that moment of masculine action, when it comes slipping and sliding right out of there. And, you know, that's what our culture needs, I think. Someone who's imitating the Jesus of Revelation with a sword coming out of his mouth. He's ready to rumble. He's that good guy with the sword, right? Who's just imitating Jesus. But how it gets inside you, we'll just leave that to your pastor and your gastroenterologist to figure out. But if it starts inside of you and then comes out of your mouth, I think that is the new way forward that's morally appropriate, that's scripturally based, and that is culturally counter, not culturally captive. Okay, next up on Turn to Burnt, Beyonce has dropped a new album, which is breaking the internet for all sorts of reasons, really. It's a country album. People were surprised by that. They were sometimes surprised and delighted, sometimes surprised and shocked. As a native son of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, I used to go to cattle drives every weekend in Fort Worth and immerse myself in that culture, eating ice cream, buying keychains, buying t-shirts, getting novelty hats, original cowboy stuff. And you will hear there that most of the original cowboys coming through that part were black. So all these folks who are saying, you know, this is reverse cultural appropriation, they've got to head down to DFW on the weekend, hear those grizzled old community theater guys drive along those 6 or 7 or 8 Longhorn cattle through the streets, and you will get a different message. So on that front, I'd say people are trying to burn this album in effigy wrongly, because there certainly were black cowboys. I don't know. There's more going on here. What do you think about it, Rudy?
Yeah, I like the historical context that you put into it there. So I do want to come back to that for sure. But for me, you know, country music is synonymous with Christian music, or perhaps what I like to call country music is kind of like church music played outdoors. You know, the kind of lamentations of the modern Christian liturgy. So when I go and I get my head cornrowed and I throw on my favorite FUBU jersey and I get annihilated on the X for cultural appropriation, or for example, each year when I go Rasta Pasta for the Halloween Harvest Festival and I get crucified in Pilate's court of Instagram, let's just make a trade here. We'll take the Beyonce and we'll call that good, but that means that you, every time that I do what I want to do and I do the thing that is my Christian right and my American right, that you don't slap that cultural appropriation thing back on me. And so if we can agree to that, then the album is completely turned.
I love that, Rudy. It reminds me of the fact that white privilege doesn't exist, which is one of the main reasons it must be consolidated and protected at all costs. I just one final thought on this Beyonce album. I was thinking, well, hey, this is good music. Got more people making more good music. That's all to the good. But how much of the NYC is going to be in this Beyonce album here? And whenever I think about New York City, you know what I think about? I think about that commercial that really impacted my spiritual growth as a kid, which was the El Paso salsa one, where the cowboys were eating something they cooked over an open flame, and then some mama's boy reaches into the fridge and brings out some frou-frou salsa from, you know, Fruitful Yield or Whole Foods, and the other cowboys examine the nutrition facts, and they see the company name, and it says it's made in New York City, and they yell, "New York City!" with such a strong sense of disgust that forever after I have had a profound sense of the spiritual inferiority of that place. So I love this album as long as the follow-up to it does not mention New York City, because I am thinking about that salsa commercial every day, and I just don't want that on my mind when I'm trying to enjoy good music.
Amen. Amen. Well, our next topic here on Turnt or Burnt is one of our, I'd say, competitors, Joe Rogan, making a very interesting claim that Ezekiel from the Bible must have been on drugs to receive the visions that he received. TJ, is this turnt or burnt?
It is turnt, because there's only certain situations in which drugs are good for receiving visions, and our Native American friends have shown us some of those. I mainly here just don't like how he's so rude to the appearance of the angels that he's saying Ezekiel had to have all these drugs to see. So if you're one of these angels that have got 10,000 eyeballs and biceps the size of Mack trucks, you think you're going to want someone posting these negative comments about your appearance on the internet or through a podcast or something? I don't want to anger the actual seraphim that could, you know, go post a lot of us all just because Joe Rogan thinks somebody had to be on drugs to imagine them.
I first go to the man, Joe Rogan. I gotta give him the respect that he deserves, because in this kind of podcast category that we're in, we kind of share a similar space of conspiracy enthusiasts, right-wing, daytime, macho, complementarian, religious adjacent, sports fan sort of category. We kind of tend to swap 1 and 2 week to week with him. And so, first of all, much love to him. Iron sharpens iron. But I think, as you mentioned before, that's what we're saying, is that as what we've learned and the way we've developed and grown and matured, especially with our Indian friends, there is a certain spiritual flow that we get into when we're able to use some of the gifts that God's given us that some people call drugs, that we just happen to call shrooms. And so from that standpoint, I think he's just saying something that all of the spiritual learned knew anyway. But I do agree with you that he needs to be a little more careful about the way that he addresses the supernatural.
Like it says in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with CBD seltzer, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So if you're like Ezekiel or us who's having these visions, by all means, get lit with the Holy Spirizzle. That's why I say pound sign instead of hashtag, because people are going to be thinking you're just smoking the doobies. And I just say to them, don't pin that donkey tail on me. Keep your devil's kale to yourself. All right, folks, next up on Turn to Burnt, we got a couple of guys facing justice for their red, white, and blue collar crimes. That's John Eastman and the aforementioned Rudy Giuliani, America's mayor. They have been disbarred in California and New York states. And I, for one, believe this is a great thing. It's going to restore integrity to the legal profession, because you can't have these guys going out there to bars, drinking, coming in, giving their drunk advice to people like the president. And if we can disbar these guys, if we can ban them from the bars, our legal system will operate so much better.
You know, TJ, there's been a lot of law talk still in the news, even as we exist in this post-OJ world that we're living in. So with these two men getting disbarred, I took it another way. I know they've been canceled for this reason and that reason, and one of them had a Borat, and they've been banned from a lot of stuff. There's this declaration that they be disbarred, and I think it's kind of fantastic. Because then they'd be seen as no longer barred from any establishment or news show or election site, and justice can be done. You know, I was so put off when they were barred that now that they're disbarred, I couldn't be happier, because now they have free rein into, you know, every factory that's making election counting equipment, any studio that's doing another Borat. And that gives him free rein to do the work of being, I like how you said he is America's mayor, but maybe also these two men can get back to being America's lawyers.
Well, they better be sober while they do it. That's all I got to say. I'm sticking with my teetotaling position on this one. And while we're at it, I think they should be disbonged as well. I don't want these guys to be stoned as Stephen trying to advise the President of the United States when he needs the best legal minds, or if you will, the best illegal minds that the country has to offer. These guys got to stay humble. They got to stay hardworking. They got to be taking the urine tests and passing them, because if they're as high as the heavens are above the earth, we are never going to get anywhere on all of our legal interests as a country. And I'd like to just say, I trust the Lord more than I trust the lawyers. I know that all these things against the president and other people we're fans of are going to get shut down directly by the Lord, no matter how good or bad the legal representation is. I will be glued to the tube waiting for these unjust judges to be disrobed right in front of my eyes as these cases go forward. Well, up next, a man has had 217 COVID vaccine shots. Rudy, is this Turn to Burnt?
Well, when I glanced down at my newspaper and saw this headline, my first thought was, hold my non-alcoholic beer, because is that all it takes to get yourself in the paper these days? I mean, my goodness. Now, first of all, just don't get me wrong here. The dude is turnt. I mean, you get 217. I got respect for that, because I've been through 217, and I've been past that a long, long time ago. my thought here is, you know, we've been taking so many shots, and we haven't gotten more than a retweet or a re-X for it. And so the dude's turned, but the story's burnt because, I mean, this is yesterday's news.
Yeah, what's your count now? It's like 500, 600 Vax Jacks?
Well, my goal is before summertime to get 800.
Oh, my. Well, the whole reason we've been doing that, though, is to increase our chances of getting autism so we could be better at gambling. And I figure, you know, if you got like every 7 vaccines or so giving yourself a 10% increased chance of crash landing onto the spectrum, by the number we've got so far, I think we got something like a 19,000% chance of getting it, which means we're not just landing on the spectrum, we're probably at wherever the octuplet extremo 7 standard deviations to the right, skidding off the runway and into oncoming traffic on Tropicana Avenue area of the spectrum that you can land on. So I think we got to put this to the test, though, because I haven't felt that much different. Now I had my 650th. How are you feeling these days on the autism spectrum?
I'm feeling pretty good physically on the autism spectrum. I don't really know what to tell you, but I think the real test is going to be if we could invite this gentleman down here to Las Vegas, get into a casino and have a little bit of a competition. We could live stream it and see who could do the best at the blackjack and with the counting cards.
Well, and we're waiting for him to get down to join us for a little head-to-head Baal versus the Lord battle in the casinos. I've been looking at some of these ADA benefits, the Americans with Disabilities Act benefits, and autism's on that list where you could start unlocking some of these cheat codes, these bonus payments, and I think that maybe what we can do is figure out how we can tap into some of that federal moolah while we wait for the real effects to take place, because we got proof that we are all the way jacked up, all the way vaxxed up. Maybe we can meet the deep state halfway where we get the ADA benefits, but we do not give up the secret of what man meant for disability, God meant for superpowers. So I think if we can make the case we're on the spectrum, but not tell them why, I think we can unlock both sides of this candle we're burning.
And we'll be doing so with a good conscience because we already gave the money to the government, and we'll just be getting back what was rightfully ours.
All right, folks, well, we fill in the paperwork to identify as disabled. We've got one more topic for y'all here, which is the TikTok ban or the forced TikTok sale, or if they don't sell it, they got to close it down, or whatever is going on with the TikTok stuff. It is a big turned or burnt topic, implicates us directly. We've got content on there. We're on there all the time for a variety of reasons we can get into. But Rudy, what do we got here? The TikTok ban, turnt or burnt?
Oh man, I'm sure glad that you brought up this topic last because it is so heavy on my heart. I don't know if our society has faced a crisis like this before, something that hits really every generation of our country. It eats away at the fabric of our country. I know that you and me got a lot of content there on TikTok. We're very concerned about it. I know that there's been talk of viruses and Chinese spyware that's on TikTok. Very concerned about it. I'm first of all wondering how China got mixed up into all this. I want to know who sold it to China in the first place, because that has not been clear. I'm really, my heart goes out to all the young people because I have no idea how they're going to get information in these challenging times. And for those of you that are a little bit older, I mean, imagine someone during Y2K taking away your pager. I mean, that's kind of the equivalent here, and maybe times 10.
That's so true. But boy, the congressional testimony where the ByteDance people had to come in and do no dances and bite no one because it was the halls of Congress, they listed a lot of stuff that was going on, like kids can't control their use. You know, some are reporting that they missed whole weeks of school so they could watch more over-the-shoulder ride-along puzzle games with Top 40 clips playing in the background. It's habit forming, it's dependency forming. Even the most inane drivel on there, not the, you know, apologetics and prophecy stuff that we put on there, but it can be dependency forming. There's this real subtle way you can suppress news that's negative about your own country or your political party, and it highlights divisions and problems in someone else's country or party. And there's no real way to preserve privacy, so you've got this whole model where you're building up this profile of what each person is susceptible to with messages, ads, and propaganda. Anyway, for those reasons and many others, this is the perfect platform for us to buy and run and take advantage of.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in this time, for such a time as this, we need to come together as a group, get a little investment group together, and really show America what it means to be an American, a patriotic Amenican. And we need to purchase TikTok. I mean, Elon Musk did it with Twitter. And so there's no doubt in my mind that we can't do that if we can just put our minds to it, put some prayer behind it, and find the right people who can partner with us.
Right, and you don't let an opportunity like this go by if you're serious about winning the culture for Christ. You need to take every advantage that the devil accidentally sends your way to get those messages out, those profiles of who's susceptible to what, get those messages pumping out to them, get the deep fakes going out to the true believers, suppressing that news that's negative, helping people form spiritual disciplines of just not being able to get away from your content hour after hour. That's what we need, is habit formation deep inside a person where they just keep watching our videos over and over and over again, blessing themselves and blessing us with the ad revenue.
That's right. And the first order of business, and I don't want to shock anyone when this happens, but when we do buy it, we're going to get everything downloaded and put away safely. We're going to run the whole thing through a scan of Kaspersky, and we're going to load everything back up onto it so we can continue using it. So you have my word on that. We're going to clean it up. I'm so excited. Even though I come at it with a very serious tone, I am very excited because I think the horizon is bright.
It's so true. Well, our loyal followers, it is the end of the day, and we are pumping this news reaction stuff out to you so quick that you know how to react yourself and amplify our reactions with your reactions and just become this nuclear reactor of reactions. So everybody, have a blessed day. Keep those swords out of your mouths. Keep on coming back to Las Vegas, the Paris on the Prairie, best of the West, Thunder Down Under. We will welcome you back next time we have any thoughts about anything that's going on in our world.
Thanks, y'all.